Praise the Lord. When I came in this evening, I again had the impression that the service was only taking place here on the platform. I only heard the singing of Brother Rus and not that of the congregation. Either the acoustics aren't quite good or you are not singing strongly enough. You must be heard. It must reach the Lord. I'll just be brief tonight. When the word was read, it went straight to my heart. And then also the emphasis. God has revealed Himself in this generation as He did in the days of Moses, as He did in the days of Paul, and we are grateful for that. This was actually the third time in total, because it didn't happen in the time of Enoch or Abraham. It happened in the time of Moses, and then it happened when the Lord was already glorified. And we also see in this how mysteriously God can reveal Himself. Stephen sees the Lord as the Son of Man at the right hand of God. He sees heaven open. A Saul rages around and suddenly sees the Lord in the pillar of fire, in the bright light, in the middle of the day, just outside Damascus. You might ask, where was he? Was he above? Was he here? Was he there? Was he the Son of Man? Was he in the pillar of fire? Beloved, blessed is the man who accepts these manifold revelations of God in Christ through faith and revelation as they have been given to us. No one will be able to understand and explain it, but we can all believe and accept it. That is a gift. Look, when we read the book of Revelation, we see the Lord again as the Son of Man walking among the seven golden candlesticks. And we've gone through that here. Every time He is described as the Son of Man, there is somehow a connection to prophecy. When He is described as the Son of God, a connection to redemption, to salvation. If we think of Him as King, then He is Son of David, because that is the promise. David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. We know that the Lord will be King, and we with Him. Different periods of time, different tasks, but one and the same Lord, who works all things in all, for the glory and honor of His name. Another thing that struck me was the thought of faith. Beloved, we must believe. Faith is a gift on the one hand, but on the other hand, it is necessary. And he who does not believe God makes him a liar. I don't mean that we have trouble with ourselves or with salvation. We have trouble believing. We find it so difficult to believe. And we always start over again. Yes, maybe it's just me, it could be. We must come to rest in God. There is a rest for the people of God. Not always starting over again. What does it say? What does the man of God write in Hebrews 6? Here it says, in Hebrews 6, Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. We realize what the Apostle wants to say here, not to start again and again to go through the first steps of the doctrine of faith anew, but to actually realize that we have been destined to go forward with our God. We can't spend a lifetime repenting. We can't be baptized for a lifetime. We can't do all these things for a lifetime. Once it must be settled, once we must have realized that Christ died for us, that He will not take our place, but has taken it, and that He shed His blood for many for the remission of sins, and we may belong to them by grace. If we keep starting again in our prayers and in every service, yes, when do we want to move forward? When do we want to reach the goal? We are grateful to God that we could make a start, but we can't spend our whole life starting over and again. We must realize that God has made a beginning with us, and not just us with God. We must also realize that God has not left us in the initial teachings, but has gone on step by step through faith, through baptism, through the Godhead, through the first and second resurrection. God has given us all these teachings by grace. Now He wants us to go forward. I have just opened Hebrews chapter 4, and I always love it when I read about the promises of God. It is something precious to know that God has given us promises, to know that they apply to us, and to know that they will be fulfilled in us. Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since the promise of entering into His rest, not into your rest and into my rest, into His rest, into the rest of God, into the peace of God, into the forgiveness of God, into the salvation of God, into all that God has given us in Christ. Therefore, since the promise of entering into His rest has not yet been fulfilled, let us fear that none of you turns out to be left behind. If it turns out that someone has been left behind, then it might be too late. Now it's about taking the promise seriously, to believe that God has provided a rest for us. He wants us to enter in. The promise has remained unfulfilled throughout the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it does not remain unfulfilled. It cannot remain unfulfilled. In Christ, all of God's promises are yes and amen. There is not only the promise, there is the fulfillment. Both are and belong together. In the Old Testament was the promise, but the fulfillment, right? But now both promise and fulfillment are here. In Hebrews 4, verse 2, we read, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them." But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Even when hearing the greatest promises of God, the most glorious words of God, faith must be present. Without faith, yes, what kind of faith? Not just a general faith, but faith that God has made His promise come true in your life and in mine, and then it will be fulfilled. That is biblical faith. Biblical faith is not that God will do it, but that God has done it, and then it becomes ours. I heard a sermon of Brother Branham today that he preached in Zurich, and he talks about his own healing. He had stomach ulcers, became very ill. The doctors could not operate, and then he probably left the hospital. You can't really hear that clearly, but in any case, he swallowed his food, but it came up again. Then he covered his mouth and, of course, swallowed it again. And the enemy immediately came and said, "You are not healed." He says, "Oh yes, I am healed." And he even went out into the street and testified that he was healed. And while he was testifying, he was throwing up. He testifies with his mouth, and the trouble almost comes out of the mouth with which he testifies. And yet he stuck with it. He stuck to it. Even in these trials, one could have said, "Huh, listen, you are lying to yourself." Not at all. We do not lie to ourselves. If we confess what God has said in His Word, then the symptoms are a lie, but the Word is true, or is it not? Then the circumstances and everything around it, that is a lie, and a lie of the devil on top of it. But the healing is truth, for He was wounded for our sins, and bruised and afflicted for our infirmities. The chastisement was laid on Him. In His wounds we are healed. And only then it was a struggle, I almost say a convulsion, but He stood in faith and testified, and behold, it happened. The devil had to give up because he persevered. One of the two things will always happen. Either we give up or he gives up. If we give up, he has the upper hand. And if we persevere, then he will have to give up, because we are on the Lord's side, and the Lord is and remains victorious. We don't just sing that, we believe it. And then, when he was completely healed, he went back to the doctor. And then the doctor asked who he was now being treated by. And then he says, plain and simple, with Dr. Jesus. And the doctor looked at him and said, "I haven't even heard of him. Where does he have his practice?" And then he says, "In glory." But what is it? A very childlike faith, almost bordering on naivety. That's how it is sometimes. God does not lead us somehow high up so that things are unreachable to us. But he leads us through the deepest depths. But David already said, if the Lord is with us, I will fear no evil, not even in the valley of the shadow of death, because the Lord is with us. So let us believe with our hearts and confess with our mouths. Let us confidently make a confession that we have received the things that God has promised until they are manifest. Even if the external circumstances sometimes want to drive us into a corner, and the devil is then also immediately to the side in our thoughts and would say, you have now testified to things that are not true at all. What is not true? What the devil has said and what the devil imposes on you is not true, but what God has said is always true. And that's why we have to differentiate in all our life situations as to who is addressing us from which side. In any case, God will always emphasize the path of faith in us and point to the promises of God, because we are founded on them by grace. It did not help the hearers at that time, because it was not mixed with faith. Beloved, we must hear every word of God in faith, believe it, and thank God that it has become a divine reality in us. Otherwise, it will not help us either. The greatest sermon and the most powerful word of God will not help us if we as listeners do not mix it with faith. The next verse then says, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said. I read it again. For we which have believed do enter into rest. If we have come to believe, then we enter into the rest of God. And we rest, as it says here in verse 4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. And in another place it says that they should not enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. What an offer of grace from God is made to all mankind. Not your religious deeds, not our teaching, not our knowledge, but God has brought us to rest through Christ. We have found rest in God, peace with God. As the songwriter sings, when peace like a river attendeth my way, then my heart rejoices. God has appointed a today, and that is the time of grace, the day of salvation, not a tomorrow, not a yesterday, a today, present, when his word is preached, that people may believe and enter into the rest of God and cease from their own works and rest in the work of God. Now just verses 8, probably verse 8 and 9. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Just as God rested on the seventh day, so now a Sabbath rest, a complete, an absolute rest in God, has been prepared for believers. Yes, it does exist. Not just one day a week. There are some dear brothers and sisters who keep one day and think that this is right before God. I can show you from the Bible that the Sabbath was actually ordained for the people of Israel and not for the New Testament church. But we have always had services on Saturdays and Sundays since we can remember it. But the rest of which the Word of God speaks is not a Sabbath rest or a Sunday rest. It is a rest of God that is on the Sabbath and on Sunday, on Monday and Tuesday, on Wednesday and Thursday, and then again on Friday and Saturday. It is an eternal rest of God into which we have entered, not on one day, but we have entered on one day to remain in it forever. That is right. It may have been a Sabbath when the Lord called us. But, as I said, we are so thankful that we have the words of God and the Old Testament with all the shadow images. Joshua is mentioned here. He did not bring the people into rest. But then God establishes a new day, the day of salvation and grace, and has provided a rest for his people into which we can enter and then rest from our own works forever. We have all read in the opening word, exalt ye the Lord, our God, and worship at his footstool. For he is holy. There is nothing left for us to do but this, to exalt the Lord our God, to glorify him, to praise him, to prostrate ourselves at his footstool. And he says, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. So we may bow down before him here on earth, offer him homage, worship him, for he is God. We may prostrate ourselves before him, as it is written here, for he is holy, and he sanctifies us through his holy word, through his holy presence, through his holy blood. Everything that will exist before God in eternity, we have received here from God. Not a single person will be able to take anything of their own with them. Everything will have been wrought by God in your life and in mine, in your heart and in mine. For it is written that he worketh both to will and to do. It would do us all good if we could thank God from the heart, giving thanks so that our hearts may be opened and our mouths may be opened. For God has done great things for us. He has pardoned us. He has borne us again unto a living hope. He has forgiven all our iniquities and sins. Has given us eternal life by grace. And on top of that, he has made known all that he has promised for this time. Our God deserves the honor and praise for all eternity. Amen. Always faithful to Jesus, faithful to his cross, until we return home. Always faithful to him, faithful to his cross, until we go home. Praise the Lord for these precious words that we could read and hear. And I believe it would be heard enough if we take to heart what has been said, then we could already worship and offer God honor and praise. May it be so that we don't just talk about it, but may it become a reality in our lives. As we heard in the testimony of Brother Branham, that he believed, even though he could not yet feel anything, even though perhaps everything was still there, but he believed, because he knew that if God had spoken, and if he believed the word of God, then he could rely on it. And we could perhaps highlight the heroes of faith now, if we were to read how these men believed God, even though they did not yet see anything, but they believed with all their heart and did not waver, but knew that God had spoken to them and that God had heard them. And also here in verse 8 of Psalm 99, the psalmist says, Thou answerest them, O Lord, our God. Yes. And we can only say, he has not only answered them, but I believe that he also answered us. That's the marvelous thing. What good would it do us if we only knew that he had heard someone, if we couldn't say he has heard us too, if we could not exclaim with this psalmist, O Lord, our God, you have heard us. But I do believe that there are people among us whom he has heard. Yes, most certainly, he heard us. He has accepted us. He has given us the Spirit, and his Spirit testifies to us that we have become his own. In 1 Timothy, in chapter 6, from verse 11, But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Yes, These are marvelous sayings. It is something very special. He addresses Timothy so marvelously. And I believe that he is not only addressing Timothy, but also us this evening. We are all being addressed. Thou, O man of God, flee these things. Yes, he speaks beforehand about all these things, that there are people who desire all these external things. And then he says, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. He spoke these words beforehand, but then he proclaims this, that this man of God should refrain from all these things and seek righteousness and godliness. For we know all that is here on earth has a beginning and an end. It is all here only for a short time, but we know what we can achieve there with our God. That is something lasting. That is something for eternity. It has a permanent existence, beloved. All the other things, we do indeed see it, as Paul expresses it here. People wear themselves out and fall into many evil things, and then stray from the faith. But beloved, we do not want to fall away from the faith, but we want to increase in the faith. That is the point. Therefore, we must refrain from these things. If we have food and clothing, and not all the other things that people look so much for, but as we have heard, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Yes, I believe, brothers and sisters, that we also need all these things in these days. Perhaps it is precisely in these days that people are keen to set aside as much money as possible. But we know that the end of all things is at hand. And as the people of God, we should focus our attention more on what will last, what endures in glory. What use is it to the people if they pierce themselves through with many sorrows, and only evil will come of it? For the love of money is the root of all evil, as it says here. And today it's all about that when we look at the world. But I would like to say that we should look more and more to God and strive for what has been given to us by grace and what is yet to come. And then he speaks a little further. He says in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Yes, and may God also grant us this, that we may fight the good fight and take hold of eternal life. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, may God grant it to us all as well. If this precious and powerful exhortation was given to Timothy in those days, we too can accept it for ourselves this evening, and we want God to give us grace in this serious end time. And then it goes on, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Yes, we can indeed say amen to that. Praise and thanks be to our God. And then he goes on to say, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. This is the point. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. That is a marvelous word. Well, it may sound as if we are not to begrudge anyone anything, but that is God's word. It is not my word, and it is not the word of man, but we know that God endeavored to tell his people what was necessary. And he is endeavoring to tell us in our day what is necessary. And I would like to say, may God really give us all grace that we really in this age, he says here, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Yes, we can indeed say that the riches of this world are an uncertainty. For today, they may have the riches, but tomorrow it is taken from them, or they are taken out of everything. And then, whose is it? Beloved, but one thing, and that was probably what Paul wanted to say to the believers in those days. There may also have been believers who were rich, but that was of no use. He wanted to tell them in no uncertain terms that they needed something else, that they should place their hope in something else, in the living God, who is from eternity to eternity. Brothers and sisters, we also want to put our hope in him. And then there is verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Yes, he was entrusted with something precious. But not only he, beloved, but we too in these days have been entrusted with something precious. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions. Yes, beloved, it must have been the same in those days as it is in ours. But we want to distance ourselves from that too. All profane and vain babblings is useless, beloved. It really brings nothing. It only brings weariness. It only brings discord, and it brings us into unbelief. But we want to look to the one who brought us faith, to our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to place our hope in Him. It is so wonderful, even this precious word that we have already read. And again we can say, He is our God. Let us exalt Him and offer Him praise and honor. Praise and thanks be to His glorious name. I would perhaps just like to read a few short sentences from this sermon here. I read it. The title is God's Only Provided Place of Worship. Some things I read in it became very important to me. Maybe just 2 pages. We get through them quickly. Here Brother Branham speaks of very precious things. He says here on the 3rd page, Now tonight we are going to have an old-fashioned prayer line. We are going to just pray for the sick the way we used to, Brother Jack and Brother Brown. And as I see all of us, the 3 of us, creeping up towards the aged, the end, it will be a very sad thing if we didn't have placed within us that great thing, what we know is truth. Yes, that is a fact. And we have just read about faith and perseverance. And here Brother Branham says, In that day we will be young again. Our bodies will be transformed into His image. Yes, we believe that with all our heart. And the thankful part of it, dear friend, that the dear Lord Jesus, you who trust me to tell you the truth, that the dear Lord Jesus, one morning about 8 o'clock, let me see that land. It wasn't a vision, but I don't want to say that. Ever what it was just as real as I'm speaking to you here. What a grace that God let him see this marvelous land. I seen the faces of those people and I couldn't recognize them. They had turned back young again. Yes, and they were real. That's it, beloved. That is what brings us faith, what gives us courage, beloved. What good is everything on earth, beloved? We see that everyone has to leave this earth, one sooner, the other later. Yes, only one thing is important, the end of our course, he says here on the 2nd page. Therefore, listen, fear God, and keep His commandments, for this is every man's duty. Yes, and we need that too. I could hold their hands and talk to them, and it helped me, because I used to have an idea, when a person died, just their soul went off. But then, when he quoted that to me, that if this earthly tabernacle of our habitation be dissolved, we already have one. 3 is the number of perfection. And there is one body here, then that body there, and then the glorified body in the resurrection. See, that makes it complete. It's not a myth It's not an idea, it's not a spirit. It is a man and a woman like you are. Yes, that is something marvelous. Brothers and sisters, and that is what we are waiting for the transformation, for the taking away. He was allowed to see them who have gone on to glory. And then, years ago, I seen the regions of the lost and was there. I tell you, friend, as an old man, let me persuade you this across the nation this morning. Don't never want to view that place. There is no way for me, even if I were a painter, to express it. I cannot describe it to you as a preacher. People talk about hell as if it were just a place that burns. The agony associated with it is a million times worse. Heaven, or the place, wherever it was, I don't know what to call it. He spoke of it as the place of souls under the altar. If it was that, I have never seen anything like it. There is no way to explain how great it is. Although I am only a man, you can rely on my word. Each of the visions has always been fulfilled, as I have told you. You know that if each of them has been truth, then this one is also true. Whatever you do, if you miss out on everything, health, strength, sight, whatever it is, don't miss out on being there. Yes, I believe this is also our longing. Yes, indeed, we do not want to miss being there. Nothing can compare to it. There is no word in the English language that I know of to express it. When you say it is perfect, it is more than that. Sublime, it is more than that. There are no words that I know of to express it. It was overwhelming. And if we consider that this is not all, I thought, me be afraid to come to this? I said, do you eat? Said, not here, but when we go back to earth, we'll receive a body with which we will eat. What a grace to be allowed to see all this. We see that God has been with His own in our day, brothers and sisters. He is with His own. We can rely on that. He used a man, and we can believe the words, because they are reliable and certain. I could touch them. They were there. It was not a myth, but a body. We could recognize each other. They knowed me, were hugging me, millions of them. I said, I want to see the one who brought me here. The answer was, you can't see him now. You have to wait. I asked, why did you put me up here? Said, you were a leader in life. And I said, do you mean all them Branhams? He said, no, that's your converts to Christ. I looked around, and then all the hard nights and the trials passed away when I could see their faces. A young woman ran up there, one of the most beautiful women, and she just threw her arms around me and said, "Precious brother," and she passed by. She was a woman, but in there will never be sin. Everything is changed. They won't raise children no more. Everyone is equal. What makes the difference is the sensation. That's the reason I don't believe in dancing on the floor. Now, before God and my Bible, I've lived clean as that way through my life, when I was a little boy, all through my young manhood. Any girl I ever went out with, I can walk right back to the judgment with her. There's no man, I don't care who you are, who can let a woman hug herself up close to you without having a sensation. But it wasn't there. Everything is different. How marvelous. Dear brothers and sisters, isn't that wonderful? God has prepared something perfect for us, something that we may not even be able to imagine yet, but God has prepared it for us. Praise be to His name. There is pure, unadulterated, sisterly and brotherly love. Here something could arise in you when you hug your own little daughter, but it is not possible there. Sin has caused this, but then it is all over. Real holy love. I looked at the woman. It seemed to me that there were millions there. They all had long hair and white robes. The one who spoke to me asked, "Do you recognize her?" I said, "No." He said, "She was over 90 years old when you led her to Christ." Amazing grace! How sweet the sound! There is no way of ever explaining what it is. Just take my word. Believe me. Be sure to burn every bridge of the world behind you. I believe the church is beginning to hear the message and to understand it. Friends, listen. We've got to lay in the presence of the Son. We've got to be ripened. Our faith isn't ripe. Intellectually, we are hearing the message that God has given us and seeing the signs that He showed us and proving it by the Bible. It's there. But how the church needs to lay in His presence till it tenders up, you know, and gets sweet in the spirit so that it can bath down. Sometime in speaking the message, you get harsh, have to break it in like that, because you've got to clinch a nail to make it hold. But when the church once gets it, the elected is called out and separated, and then are in the presence of God. I know it will be something like that when people are raptured. Praise be to our God for these precious words that we have heard this evening. Well, brothers and sisters, we have heard precious words tonight from the Holy Scriptures and also from what Brother Branham is telling us here. We are so thankful to God that we don't have to listen to the fables of men, but that we can stick to the infallible Word of God, that we don't have to listen to anyone, because men can lead us astray and can cause us to stray from the faith. But God brings us to the point that we are strengthened in our faith. God's Word is there to build us up, to strengthen us, to revive us. And also the things that have been said to us here in the sermon, they bring us to the point that we rejoice in Him and in His Word and in His Spirit. We are grateful to Him also this evening, and we don't want to fail to open our hearts and our mouths to honor His name. Let us rise now to do so. Heavenly Father, we thank You together for this grace that has been bestowed upon us. We thank You for every word, Lord, that You have given us again and again by grace. Lord, if Your Word should have nothing more to say to us, on what should our faith rest, Lord? But You have spoken, Lord, in all ages, and especially in our days, Lord. You have made known mighty things, Lord, which no eye has seen. Our brother did not have the words to express what he was allowed to see, Lord. My God, all this awaits Your people, Lord. All this awaits us, Lord, when we shall be with You. Give grace, Lord. Your servant has warned us that we should seek to be there, Lord, in that glory, O Lord, that we may not come to the place, Lord, where this evil is, Lord, but that we may come, Lord, where eternal life is. Praise be to Your wonderful name. We thank You, Lord, for the mighty message in our day. We thank You, Lord, that You are at work, that You are busy to prepare us. Lord, help us, my God. We are poor and wretched, Lord. We still have so many faults, Lord. But You are able, Lord, to prepare us in such a way that we can enter there into that glory. Receive the honor, receive the praise, receive the worship, Lord. You are our God, Lord. We will not cease to praise Your name, Lord, as long as we are here on earth. Hallelujah. Glory to Your wonderful and glorious name. Bless us, my brothers and my sisters. Bless all Your people, Lord, all over the earth. East, west, north and south, Lord. Everywhere, even behind the iron curtain, Lord, You are able to bless Your people everywhere and prepare them for Your soon coming. We give You honor and praise and worship. We also thank You for the blessing tonight. You have blessed us, Lord, through Your precious and holy word. Receive the honor. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen.